tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth for everything, and all of my worries in vain. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love, and from sin in His sheltering arms, I'm living by faith, and I feel no alarm. Tempests may blow and the storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of light. I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies. The Master looks on at the strife. I'm living by faith in Jesus above. I'm trusting, confiding in His great love. And from all harm saved, in His sheltering arms, I'm living by faith, and I feel no alarm. Why should I then care though the tempest may blow if Jesus walks close to my side? I'm living by faith in Jesus above. I'm trusting, confiding in His great love. And from all harm saved, in His sheltering arms, I'm living by faith, and I feel no alarm. Our Lord will return to this earth some sweet day. Our troubles will then all be o'er. The Master so gently will lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore.
You think about
I'm living by faith
you come to
in Jesus above. I'm trusting, confiding in His great love.
Yes, right, from all harm
saved. And from all harm saved.
You know, I love a song like that, and that's one of my favorite, Living by Faith. That's an old hymn in our wonderful church hymnal book. And it really is a great song, and I love it. And if you're not living by faith, you need to start living by faith. Well, welcome to Open Bible Dialogue, Open Bible Telecast. You know, we're both on radio and internet and Facebook. Well, that's not both, that's all three. And it really is a joy. We're touching people all over the world. You understand we have people listening all the way to Australia, New Zealand. I was in a meeting some time ago, and a couple from New Zealand was across the room, and I heard them call my name, and I went over to them, and they live in New Zealand. And they said, we keep our internet on Paul Creek. And I thought, how beautiful that is. And it thrilled my heart. We want to bless people all over this globe, everywhere. There's nowhere we don't want to reach. There's no color of skin we don't care about. There's no language we don't care about. Do you know? Do you know that very soon the whole kingdom of God will talk a new language. Not really altogether new. It's the old language that Adam and Eve talked in the Garden of Eden, that God talked with them. And that language will once again be restored. The Bible calls it a pure language. Once again, restored to all of God's kingdom. Isn't that going to be grand? Our day ahead of us is breathtaking. I said on the Facebook this morning, I wish I could get all my friends talking about heaven. Why in the world don't you get heaven on your heart and on your mind? Do you understand that this world is a hellhole? Really, it's a hellhole. I don't believe I ever used that before speaking about our earth, but it's become a hellhole. It's overwhelming to me. Have you heard the new Pew report? Now, this is Pew, a survey company that really deals a lot with religious ideas. And so they did a poll of Democrats. And they asked him, when does a child become either a boy or a girl? That's not exactly the way they worded the question, but it was the essence of that. Does the doctor tell you it's a boy or a girl? Is it decided in the womb? You know, when is it decided? And you know what 77% of all these Democrats in that particular survey, 77%, did you hear me? 77% made it plain. They do not believe that a child's gender is determined when they're born. They do not believe it's determined by the doctor saying it's a boy or it's a girl. They do not believe in the mother's womb. In the mother's womb, it can be determined whether it's a boy or a girl. 77% of Democrats with a 4-year education. Now, that's a hellhole, friend. That's a hellhole. And when you come down on that report, 60-some percent of those who had a 2-year degree and 50-some percent of those who had a high school or less, they agreed. Over half of all the Democrats believe that a baby is not determined as a boy or girl when it's born. Now, that's a hellhole. You can't call it anything but a hellhole. Do you understand? And I didn't think it would get that bad when they started same-sex marriage. I didn't think same-sex marriage would ever come to be when they began to try to give approval to sodomy and the homosexual lifestyle. But step by step, it's going to hell. Step by step, it's going to hell. And today, I'm talking about the angels of God in the book of Revelation. The angels of God in this end-time book, this end-time scenario, this end-time happening. I'm talking about the angels of God. Did you know? Angels of God are named in the book of Revelation, 22 chapters, 79 times. 79 times. And I've been studying about all the angel activity in the book of Revelation. And it's overwhelming. Now, we're going to talk about several things today, all relating to this. We're going to talk about this hellhole that's developing around us. This hellhole that's developing throughout our globe and our world. You cannot do anything but call it the fulfillment of the scripture. The time of the falling away, the Bible calls it. And that word falling away, two words in the Greek, means apostasy or apostatizing. The world is apostatizing. What is it doing? It's leaving the truth. Is leaving the truth. That's what apostasy means. It means when you throw the truth to the wind. When you throw the truth out the door. When everything or anything is equal to everything. When there are no absolutes and there are no truths. Well, I'm here to tell you it's all a hellhole. And the angels of God are getting it ready for the last hour. The last day. Hey, if you don't get your mind on heaven, you're going to be in some kind of trouble. Because if you're not in heaven here shortly, that means you're going to be in hell. Or on this earth in hell as the tribulation period progresses. And I want to get you ready. I'm not here to play games with you. I'm here to love on you. I'm here to give you the heart of a man of God. That's all I'm here to do, is give you the heart of a man of God. And to beg of you to get the things of God on your heart and on your mind and get with these things that really count. Now, let's deal with this idea of angels. Now, you know that all angels are masculine. There is no such thing as feminine angels. They all are masculine. Now, a fallen angel can propose to be anything. A fallen angel can take on even the body of a person. A fallen angel can put on all kinds of paranormal kind of thinking. A false angel can actually play the part of a feminine. Absolutely, a false angel, a demon, can act like a feminine being. A feminine being, but it's all false. It's all leaving the state in which they were created. And the Bible says those kind are cast into the bottomless pit, into the very bottom of hell, where it's the hellish it can be. Oh, my friend, I beg of you to understand that all angels, true godly angels, are masculine, and they're great in strength. Their ability far exceeds that of a human. They can do paranormal things that are incredibly great and incredibly breathtaking. And they're evil. They're wrong. I'm talking about fallen angels now. It's amazing. But I'm really dealing with good angels today. The true angels of God. The book of Revelation is full of them. Let me read you something. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angels unto his servant John. It was angels who manifest the book of Revelation to John the Revelator. God uses his angels in everything he does, at least almost everything he does. I say that and I tremble a little bit because, you know, I'm not that proof of what all God does, but I can tell you he uses his angels, and they are in the middle of the book of Revelation 79 times. And I'm going to take you to some exciting things that you see angels doing in the book of Revelation. It is quite amazing. Now, the angels of God and unholy angels are always at war. There is a war going on. And you wonder why there's such a war on earth. It's because there's a war in the heavens, in the second heavens I speak of, where the devil is the prince of the power of the air, but God's angels also are there to hold the devil at bay. Did you know the devil can do nothing that either God don't let him do, or God doesn't allows his angels to let him do, or when I am disobedient and I let him do? So there are three ways that demons can do things. If God turns them loose to do something, if God allows his angels to turn them loose to do something, or if I carelessly allow demons to do things. Some of you out there listening to me, you under such a power of demons, you can't even hear the truth. The truth just disturbs you to your core because demons are ruling your mind and they're ruling your thought life. And so much of this junk that's taken over America is nothing but the activity of demons, fallen angels now. You got to understand that. Now, thank God for those holy angels that are holding things at bay. I can tell you right now, the devil is on a lease. He can only go so far. He can only do such things as either God allows him, or those angels of God allows him, or you and me allow him. And we need to understand that the devil's always on the lease. Somebody said, the devil made me do it. He didn't make you do nothing. You let him make you do whatever you do. And you need to hear that, because your soul could be at stake. It really could. If you're trying to put it off on the devil, you tell the devil, no more. I'm going to serve God and live in the Bible, and the devil can't stop you for one day or for 1 hour or for 1 minute. You need to hear that. Now, the fallen angels are the primary influence in our world. The fallen angels are all of this gender stuff, nothing but demons. All of the same-sex marriage, nothing but demons. All of the sodomy, nothing but demons. All of the extra sexual involvement in human beings, nothing but demons. The whole world of evil is under the power of demons and fallen angels. And they're doing great damage and darkness. But then God's got holy angels, and there's more holy angels than there are evil angels. The Bible would give a suggestion in Revelation 12 that only one-third of the angels fail. That means two-thirds of them are still serving God and still helping me and you if you let them. Most people don't even think about angels. Most people don't even have a brain to think what angels may be or may not be doing. And that's very sad. I'm here to tell you, if ever, 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 ever we need that angels of God are involved in our life, it certainly is now. Now, holy angels defend us against ungodly angels. And it's important for you to hear that. It is the holy angel that holds the evil angel at bay. The war in the heavens is between angels, not between God and the devil. It's between God's angels and the devil. Now, ultimately, I know it's God who charges his angels and sends them on their task. And Jesus is the Lord of Sabaoth, which means the Lord of the host, or the Lord of the multitude of holy angels. And so it's all a beautiful thing. You see, it is the angels of God that are helping us right now in our fight against liberalism and communism in America. I mean, when you look at what the Democrat Party represents, and many Republicans represent the same. So don't you think it's just Democrats. And I'm not trying to be partisan here. I'm telling you, we've got enough alligators in the swamp of Washington, and they're not all Democrats. Some of them are Republicans, some of them are independents, and some of them are just demons and devils. And there's a plenty of them, believe me. And I'm telling you, the devil is getting this world to take it over for 7 years. But God and his angels is getting this world ready for our defense, for the defense of God, for the purity of the earth. In 7 years after the rapture, this earth will become a pure place, a sacred, holy place. And Jesus will set up his kingdom for 1,000 years. Are you hearing that? Jesus will set up his kingdom for 1,000 years. And if you're not thinking of heavenly things, if you're not setting your heart on heavenly things, you're being very unwise. You're being very foolish. And Brother Chambers just begs on you. That's all I know to do is beg you. I don't have anything else to do but plead with you to turn to God with all of your heart and turn to Christ with all of your heart. Thank God for the angels who do these great things. Now, I really want you to see that all the drama, now hear that word drama, all the drama in the book of Revelation is what angels are doing and presenting to show John the Revelator the great truths of the book of Revelation. Somebody says, I don't believe the book of Revelation. Then you call in God and his angels and John and the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus himself, the great crucified one. You're calling them all liars. You're saying they didn't give us the book of Revelation to teach us the truth. You're the one that's playing a fool, friend. And you're making a fool out of yourself. The book of Revelation is as real as any book in the Bible. In fact, it's the final book. And it's so full of truth. It's overwhelming. And if you're not studying it, you're playing a very foolish part in your life. So I'm calling on you to get in this book. Now, there are so many beautiful stories in this book. Let me take you to some of them. I mean, I've got so many notes here, and I got so many things I didn't even write notes on because I knew I couldn't get to all the things I see. But the angels' activity in this book are breathtaking. Let's go to Revelation 5. Let me show you a little something. Now, the lines are already open. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. And then the toll-free number, 1-800-338-7884. Let me put the numbers up just a moment, and I'll try not to leave them up but a minute. They hide me a little bit here on the screen. You probably don't mind that, but I do. And so I'll say to my keepers in there, don't let me leave it up too long. Come tell me. Let's go to Revelation 5. Let me show you something that's beautiful. Revelation 5. Let's see here. I'm there. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel. Listen to that. I saw a strong angel. Listen to what the angel said. Who, he cries out, is worthy to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof? And no man was found. And the picture goes on. And finally, John's weeping because John knows this is very important. See, this book is the title deed of the earth. It's the whole redemptive process of the book of Revelation. Is everything that God had planned and written down in a book, and nobody ever seen the book but God. Even Jesus had never touched the book. No angel had ever touched the book. This was God's book. It was in God's hands, and nobody could come and touch it. Nobody could come and open it. Nobody could come and read it unless they were found worthy. And nobody was found worthy as the angel cried out, "Who is worthy?" So an angel is crying out, "Who is worthy?" And nobody was found worthy until Jesus appeared on the scene. He was right there all the time, of course. And it's a beautiful picture. One of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, and hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and the midst of the four beasts," which are seraphims and cherubims, these are angels too, "and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, the mighty Holy Ghost. And he came and took the book." Now, an angel, let me say it right, orchestrated this event. Them big words, orchestrated. I got it out, though. The angel orchestrated this beautiful event of calling, "Who is worthy? Who is worthy?" And, of course, John didn't know it was the Lion of the tribe of Judah. It was the root and offspring of David. It was the bright and morning star. It was the rose of Sharon. It was the lily of the valley. It was the bright and morning star, said that. The first and the last, beginning and the end. I mean, all kinds of names given to him. Oh, what a Savior. What a Redeemer. What a mighty Lord. Do you love him? Do you really love him like you ought to love him? I can't read that. It's so small. There you go. Number, line 7.
1.
Oh, that looks like a 7. Right then, hallelujah. Well, that was my girls. I couldn't make it without them. They are a blessing. And that was one of my teenagers that came in here. She is a precious lady. I know she's out there saying, "Oh, quit that, Brother Chambers." Well, let me get line 1 here. Make sure now you call any question on this subject today. I will do my best to answer. And you on the air, may I help you, please?
Yes, sir. Chambers, I've been listening to your program today, and I'm working up at Rock Hill today.
Okay.
Of South Carolina.
You're in South Carolina. Well, that's okay. I'm glad you called.
Yes, sir. I've been listening, and I want to say how much I enjoy this radio program and the fact that you preach the Word of God, not a man's opinion. And I know that you've been talking today about the seven books and the fact that the angels will be carrying out the judgment of God. But I had a question.
Okay, I love good questions. Let me have it.
From Matthew chapter 13.
Matthew chapter 13.
Verse 49.
Okay, read it.
It talks about the fact that the angels will come and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth.
I'm having trouble. You on a cell phone, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
All right. Read, what verse is that again?
That is Matthew chapter 13 and verse 49.
All right. Let me read it, and that way we make sure they hear every word. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. Is that it? Is that the verse you want me to read?
No, Matthew chapter 13 and 49.
45. Well, I'm open at Matthew chapter 13. It says so in my Bible, and verse 45.
49.
And this is Matthew 13.
Yes, sir. Verse 49. Not 50, but 49.
Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. Now, we have the wrong chapter of Matthew or something.
Okay.
Give me the name of the chapter again.
13 and 49.
49. Okay, now we go. So shall it be in the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just? That's a good question.
Here's my question. When does that take place?
That, let me read it again. So shall it be in the end of the world when the angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. That has to happen at the end of the tribulation.
Okay, that answers my question.
That has to happen. There's no other period to think of that the wicked would be gathered out from among the holy or the just than but at the end of the tribulation period. So that would have to be the end of the tribulation, because the rest of the world that hasn't fallen into one camp or the other has to be severed and judged, and he severs the wicked from among the just.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to study that a little more, though. I've never been asked that question before. That kind of, I must admit, I've never been asked that question about that verse. And I'm sorry, I was getting the wrong verse or something. But verse 49 is finally what I got. And that is a good question, and it would have to be the best I can figure at the end of the 7 years.
Thank you, Pastor.
But I can tell you this, angels are going to be involved in the whole judgment period. Yep. Angels are going, God don't come down himself and reach and get the wicked and reach and get the righteous. He has his angels that do that.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Get another question and call me again. You'll be more than welcome. Thank you, and God bless you. Now, these kind of questions are important, because here I have a question in front of me that I've never answered before. Never thought about it. Gathering the wicked from among the just. Now, there can be times in just ordinary life that happens, but for it to happen in the end, I do not see in my mind right now that any time it could occur, but at the end of the 7 years. Now, maybe during the last 3 years, as the wicked are being judged and are being destroyed, that could be somewhat possible, but it's a good one to study and to dig into, okay? So keep asking questions, and we'll move on, because your questions are important to me, very much so. So these mighty acts of the angels. Now, I want to give you another as you call now. Please call. Remember, angels are seen in the book of Revelation 79 times. A few of them are messengers and very likely are saints of God, because the same word fits both throughout the book of Revelation. But I'm telling you, it is a beautiful picture to see the activity of angels in the book of Revelation. They are mighty in action. They are mighty in action. And they do an incredible number of things, and almost everything that takes place. Let me take you, if I might, to Revelation 14 and 6. And this is quite amazing. Revelation 14 and 6. And let me read again and show you some activity of angels while you're calling. Now, the number to call is 704-391-0588. 1-800, the toll-free, 1-800-338-7884. And let me tell you, I want to give you a gift today. It is a booklet, a wonderful booklet written on angels preparing for the rapture and the judgment. Angels preparing for the rapture and the judgment. And we'll have in this article a list of all these things I'm saying to try to give you a picture of really what angels represent and the great things they do, the incredible things that they accomplish. And let's go then to Revelation 14 and verses 6. I want to read that to you. Very, very beautiful picture. All right, let me go. And I saw another angel. Now listen, I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach. Now, this is the only time in the Bible when angels are seen preaching. Angels are not the preachers of the world today. Angels may go and bring someone to hear me, as they did Cornelius in the book of Acts chapter 10. They told Cornelius to go send for Peter. And the Peter was the preacher, not the angels. Cornelius and his household was wonderfully saved. But here's a time, unlike any other time in history, when angels have and preach the everlasting gospel. Isn't that beautiful? Let me read it again. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven. Notice an angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth. Okay, unto every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Somebody asked me this week, does the events of Revelation only occur in the Middle East? Or are they worldwide events? And I only know of one person, Dake, who wrote a very bad revelation of the Bible, his own Bible with his own notes, and is so full of error, it's unreal. And I'm sorry if you disagree with that, but you read my, I got an article on the internet all about Dake, and shows he even believes God gets up every morning and has to put his clothes on. Did you hear me? He even believes God has to get up every morning and put his clothes on. And that couldn't be any further from insanity. I mean insanity. And so here we see an angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel, and he preached it unto the ends of the earth. Notice that. Every nation, every tongue, every kindred, and every people. Now, that's beautiful. So in the tribulation period, God's going to take every effort. God's going to take every effort possible to get the message to the world. You say the revelation period of 7 years is only hell on earth. It is a lot of hell on earth, but it's a lot of people finally coming to God. It's a lot of people that wake up. I've got children that I pray to God they wake up during that tribulation period. I'm talking about, well, children and grandchildren. I'm praying for that. It's that dangerous. It's at that hour. The angels, oh, thank God they're helping right now. The angels are busy. I wouldn't want to be here as a preacher. I wouldn't want to be on this radio preaching what I'm preaching to the whole world. Telling you that all of this sodomy and all of this transgender stuff is nothing but making the earth hell on earth. A hell hole, as I said earlier. And that's really what it's becoming. A hell hole. And if you're not getting heaven on your mind, you're being very careless. Very careless. And I pray that you will. I love you. I'm not here for my health. I'm 82 almost. I'm here because I love you. I'm here because I'm committed. You know, Job had a terrible time in his life. Went through numbers of years of just being attacked by Pharaoh. And almost destroyed, it looked like, but God was taking care of him and he was faithful. And when the time was over, God gave him twice as much as he'd ever had before. And I told God, I don't want twice as much in money. I don't want twice as much in land. I don't want twice as much in animals. I want twice as much in souls converted to Jesus Christ. That's my hope for these last years. This last period of time, however long, I do not know, but my hope is to win more souls, twice as many as I've won in all my Christian life to this point. 65 going on 66 years, 60 years as a pastor. I'm telling you, I want to win souls. I want to see people saved. I want to see people come to Christ because God never forgets his own. Now, let's go to Revelation 14 and 19. 14 and 19. Okay? I want you to read this. 14 and, I'm sorry, not 19, 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and the image, or in his image, and receive his mark in his forehead, or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wrath. Listen now, the same shall drink of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture, and the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented day and night with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Now, friend, you take that mark of the beast, you're hellbound. There's no turning around. I know there's some preachers that preach you can get forgiveness for taking the mark of the beast, but they're false preachers. They're preaching you a false message. I don't know where they got it. How did they get so confused? I don't know. I really don't know. But we are living in such an hour that you're hearing almost anything possible out there. Now, you can see that angels are in the middle of this book of Revelation. I say again, 79 times the word angel or angels with an S, plural or singular, 79 times in the book of Revelation, you see angels, God's angels. And of course, you see the devil's fallen crowd in Revelation 12, and they are angels. They serve the devil, and they fight with Michael and his angels, and they lose. Did you hear me? They lose. Now grab your phone. I want some more good questions, okay? 1-800-338-7884. I'm going to put that number up again in case you can't remember it, okay? So grab your phone. Call me at 391-0588 or 1-800-338-7884. I want a list of questions. I want you, and I name the transgender mind salt that's coming like a storm upon the world. I just told you, in case you have picked up and started listening later, that this week a report was given on the Rush Limbaugh Show. So it's a dependable report from the Pew Research Center, which are dependable people. They did a survey of Democrats and found that 77% of all Democrats with a four-year degree from a college, or university, that 70-some% do not believe that a child is determined by whether it's a boy or girl when it's born. A child's gender is not determined by what the doctor says or what was in mama's womb. That it's determined by the child as they mentally and emotionally develop under their influence, of course. And that has got to be the most terrible thing I've ever seen in my life. It really is. How could somebody be that stupid? If you don't mind me calling them stupid, stupid's not a good word for them. I mean, I've been stupid a few times myself, but that's worse than stupid. It's insane. It really is. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, sir.
You need to talk directly in your phone now. Let me hear you.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
All right. I was very impressed with your attention to women's teachings and the state Bible. But I would like to know, what do you feel about some of the things Clarence Austin taught in his dispensational truth?
Your phone is the worst I've had recently, and it's probably where you're at. But try to say that again, and I'm going to listen real carefully.
Okay, I agree with you about Dave having erroneous things in his Bible, but I want to know, what do you think about Clarence Larkin called in his book, Dispensational Truth?
Wow, you know, I am so sorry that I'm not understanding you, my friend. Call back and let the secretary write this down and bring it to me. Phoebe will be glad to do that, and she'll bring it and lay it on my desk, and then I can answer this, because it sounds like a question I need to answer. But I can't hear you good. I've been hearing so much better, but sometimes if somebody has a phone in the wrong area, especially a cell phone, it won't come through good enough. Can you try one more time? All right. Please take that for me, Phoebe, if you would, and bring it to me. Hey, give us a call quickly. I can't get most of my calls anymore. We got our phone working so much better. But sometimes if the phone is a cell in a distance or in a place where the signal doesn't pick up strong enough, it just don't come through this system. So I do want to answer every question. And you are many, most of you are in a good place, and you can call quickly on your house phone or your cell phone, and I'll be able to help you. So get on the lines, and let's have a bunch of questions and share with me some of this rock that you are seeing in our world. The doctrines in most churches have become rot. It really has. The music in most churches is now the devil's music and the world's music. It don't do a thing but excite the flesh. It does nothing for the inner man. It does nothing to convert the soul and bring them to know Christ. When you sing a gospel song that is full of the Holy Ghost, it'll convert people. It'll move the hearts of believers to get closer to God. It'll change your life. It really will. It will change your life. And that's what we want. We want your life to be changed. We want you to grow. Now, these questions about angels, and there's so much I can read to you. In just a moment, we're going to go to Revelation chapter 15. Revelation chapter 15. That's a breathtaking place. It really is. And you'll see something beautiful. But while I'm waiting, you call if you have a question. All about the Revelation period, the coming of the activity of angels, all doing then as well as now. I believe that angels are busy now more than we've ever known before. Are you hearing about these strange things that are happening? I just read the other day where one of the cities here in America was just awakened at night by a huge sound. I mean, it was a breathtaking sound. And the last I read, they haven't found out what it was. I read of lights showing up in places, all kinds of strange things. The Bible said that signs in the heavens above and the earth beneath would show us the coming of the time of the Lord. And so I don't think there's any question. We're seeing a lot of signs. We're hearing a lot of phenomenons. We're hearing a lot of things that tell us the coming of the Lord is at hand. I believe that angels are exposing wickedness right now. Look at all the people, let's say in the last month or 2 months, all the wicked people in America. Hollywood is coming under scrutiny now as being a hellish place with nothing but sex perverts. And people being horribly treated sexually, women and men in some cases. And I believe the angels of God are exposing this. I believe the angels of God are exposing politicians who are wicked men or wicked women. I believe we're going to see more and more and more of that because God's angels are busy. They are busy, and they're exposing wickedness. They're pulling the cover off of godless people. They're showing us how crazy the world is becoming. What you are seeing every day on the news is absolutely what angels are exposing for us to know is happening. The fact that I can say our world has become a hellhole is enough to make you understand it is the angels of God that are opening these things up for us to see. It's no longer going to be undercover. There's not going to be many wicked things that we don't see in the weeks and months to come. God's going to expose it. God's going to make it evident to us that our world is going the route that the Bible already says it was going to go. Do you understand? You got to understand that because what you are seeing in your newspaper is not an accident. What you're hearing on your social media is not an accident. What you're seeing on television is not an accident, but God is showing us that our world is becoming quickly a hellhole, a place of judgment, a place of wickedness. And I hope it wakes you up. I'm not sure it's going to wake a lot of you up. I think you're so dead asleep, nothing's going to wake you up. I think many of you basically turn me off. You listen to me one time and you don't come back. Because you want to be peaceable and you want to feel confident and you want to be joyful and you want to enjoy your worldly pleasures. You want to enjoy your successes. You want to enjoy your blessings. You want to enjoy your plenty. And we got a world that's got a lot of people that have more money than they even need. It's becoming ridiculous the kind of salaries that a lot of people are making. And now they're going to give us a tax cut to have more of our part of the money. It may be good for us poor people. It won't do much for rich people because they've already got more than they can spend. But I'm telling you, we are living in a day when the angels of God are busy. You say, oh, don't know that I accept that. All right, just keep watching. You'll see every form. Who would have ever thought that it would be said of the Democrat Party? I mean, that was the party of some very great politicians in the past. My dad was a Democrat, dedicated Democrat. I mean, I understand that. But now it's a party of perverts. It is full of perverted people. 77% of all Democrats with a four-year education believe that you cannot determine a child's gender when they're born by whether or not they're male or female. Whether it's a boy or a girl. You know, did you hear that the other day the transit department of New York, underground transit, all these trains running to and fro, that conductors can no longer say ladies and gentlemen. Those terms are out of order. No longer ladies and gentlemen. And the Democrat man running against Roy Moore in Alabama is for transgenders used in the bathroom of their transgender choice. That's what he's for. You folks in Alabama, you better wake up. You say Roy Moore has a lot of people coming against him. I don't know whether he's guilty of any of that or not, but I do know he was a Democrat when he's accused of it. And I do know he was probably a sinner who hadn't been born again. And I do know he now has the reputation of being a very devoted and good man. And if I was down there, I tell you right now, unless I learn more than I now know, I'd be voting for him. And I hope you, it's very evident, your choice between a man who believes in transgender bathrooms or the transgender use of bathrooms and a man like Roy Moore, it's not a hard choice to make. You having a trouble with that choice, you got a problem. That's all I know. So I pray you won't have any trouble. I pray you'll stand up for what's right. And we don't live in a perfect world. President Trump has done some things in the past that were embarrassing. I'm sorry he did them, but he's certainly a good man now. And he's certainly a great president. And he's certainly doing more for us, anybody done. Even Ronald Reagan, as great as old Ronald Reagan was, he doesn't compare with some of the things that Donald Trump is doing. And you need to hear that. You really do. It's a late hour, and you need to wake up. Now, let's go to Revelation 15. Hey, I got about 17 minutes, and we've had two calls, and we should have had 20. Get on your phone and get involved in this radio program. You know there's some questions you haven't thought of and you don't have the answer for. And you know what you see out there. Tell me some false doctrines you're hearing preached in your church. Tell me some music stuff that you have in the face in places you're going. Tell me some of the stuff you know preachers that are headed in that direction. I had someone that come to me this week, and they live in Burlington. And they ask a friend of mine in Burlington, do you know a church in our city that preaches the old-fashioned Bible that really helps you get saved, that teaches you how to grow and mature and grow up in the Lord? And the man said, no, I don't know one. I don't know one. If there is one up there, you need to call me, not on the air, and announce your church, because I may learn some things later that I don't want to announce it. But you call me personally, and if I can ascertain that you are on the up and strong, I'll be glad to tell my friends in Burlington, here's a place you can go. Okay? So call quickly now, 1-800-338-7884. Grab your phone. I want some calls these last 17 minutes. I want to answer one call after the other. I want to be a blessing to one of you after the other. Okay? So grab your phone. Want to hear from you. Want to answer your question. And while you're calling. Now, the ladies are standing by. My gift is this booklet. And every one of you need this booklet. You need to study about the angels. 79 angels called, named in the book of Revelation. 79 times. Isn't that breathtaking? That's almost 4 per chapter. Almost 4 per chapter. 88 would be 4 per chapter. 79. Hey, I want to hear from you. Grab your phone. We're talking about a great book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 15. And this time we go to verse 1, okay? And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, 7 angels having the 7 last plagues. For in them is filled up the wrath of God. Here, 7 angels. 7 last plagues, and I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and then them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over his name and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass having the harps of God. Isn't that beautiful? Even while the tribulation period's going on, here's a bunch of saints who have gotten the victory over the beast, gotten the victory over his image, gotten the victory over his mark and over the name, the numbers of his mark. And they stand on the sea of glass. That's what the saints have got up in heaven. Okay. The sea of glass is where all the bridal company will gather before the throne of God up in the second heavens, somewhere between here and God's great city of regular heavenly Jerusalem. Oh, what a picture. Now, these 7 angels come out of the temple. They come out of the temple, And they begin to pour out their vials of wrath upon the Antichrist kingdom. This is one dark part of the tribulation period. When these seven angels out of the temple of God in heaven begin to pour out their wrath upon the Antichrist kingdom. I mean, the Antichrist crowd begins to pay here. They really begin to answer to God, and it's a horrendous picture. And these are angels now, angels who are carrying these vials and pouring them out upon the wicked. Now, I love that. I love the picture of that. And it shows you the beautiful things that God will do and God will take care of. Now, let's go to Revelation 20 and verses 1. Revelation 20. I'm trying to give you a full picture here of angels in the book of Revelation. I want you to never forget that angels play an intimate part in the book of Revelation. This is chapter 20 and verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven. Listen, I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the keys of the bottomless pit. Now, where is the bottomless pit? The bottomless pit is in hell, at the bottom of hell. You do know that hell is in the heart of the earth. You know it's a seething hell hole in the heart of this earth. And at the very bottom of it is a place called the bottomless pit. That's where the most wicked, the most thoroughly destroyed, the most thoroughly godless, I mean men, angels, so wicked that there's no possibility of rescuing them. And they're in the bottomless pit. And here's an angel that comes down out of heaven and opens the bottomless pit. Has a great chain in his hand. A great chain in his hand. Thank you. Listen, let me come back to that. Let me take this call. And please call me now. I want to hear from you. You're important. Grab your phone. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes. Fast question. I've got a question for you.
Okay. Love to have it.
Would you like to know of someone who had actually had a visitation from an angel?
Would I like to know someone that's had a visitation from angels? Well, I already know of someone because I've had visitations from angels.
Well, I have never had one myself. I got saved in September of 1972, and I know of almost 10 cases where people that I've spoken to have had experiences.
Well, I believe in them very much, so you're not going to surprise me. As long as the angel is masculine, if he's not masculine, he didn't come from God. He came from the devil, or she came from the devil.
I was in the car recently, and I was driving down one of the road with a gentleman from originally from Liberia, West Africa. And I asked him, we were passing near a home that brought something to my mind, and I asked him, I said, Daniel, do you believe in angels? And he began to weep. And he said, Brother John, he said, when I came, I was going to be killed in 1990 in Liberia. There was civil war there. My wife and my two children were there. And he said, I looked up into the heavens. I said, Lord, I'm ready to come. And he said, I felt I would be killed. He says, right after that, right behind me, he said, a large soldier, he was wearing fatigues, and they were very clean. He had an AK-47. He came up, and he says, he asked him by name. He said, I've never met the man before. He says, and he was very reassuring. He says, you, he says, don't worry. He says, your children will not be killed. Remember in the Bible, it says, fear not, fear not. And so he put them in a fruit carrier and took them to a building and then left. And they said, it was like he just disappeared. We never saw him anymore. He says, that must have been an angel. It could not have been anything but an angel. That's very, very moving to me.
Yes, it's moving to me. I believe that with all of my heart. I will never forget a story. I heard at the Gar Church when I came to Charlotte in 68. I went to hear a man there who was a noted preacher. And he was a noted man. And he told about a missionary in China. And the missionary, I said, I'm thinking China, India, I'm trying to remember what country it was. He said this missionary had been called to go to a certain village to preach. and he'd gone to preach and finished his mission, and he was on his way back and got caught in the mountain in a snowstorm. And the snowstorm was so ferocious, he lost his way. I mean, he was in dire condition, and it became the middle of the night, and he was freezing. And he said he finally remembered he fell on the snow. And immediately when he fell on the snow, something warm laid on top of him. And he lay there and went to sleep and slept the whole night with this warm feeling right on top of him, just barely covering him like a big electric blanket. He said the next morning he woke up and he began to stir. And he said, something got off of over me and moved and started walking off. And it was a white polar bear that had been laying on that man all night, protected him. And the next morning he walked away and went on to his village unhurt and unharmed.
Well, God used those lions in Daniel's den.
Exactly. I knew that story was real when I heard it. I think we are going to begin to hear more stories like that. And I pray we do. There's been such a disregard for angels. It's like they hardly exist in most people's mind. And if you talk about angels, they think you're a mystic of some degree or some kind. Well, I'm telling you, my wife and I would not have made it through these years without the help of angels. We know that. They have appeared in our house. I've actually seen not so much their appearance as the shadow of their appearance.
Well, I think we're going to find more belief in the supernatural outside the church walls rather than in.
Well, you're probably right, because most people in the church only have the little theology that their preachers have given them, and most of the time it's not much more than, pinto beans and a little potatoes, you know.
Another thing Daniel told me is that he said in Africa, he said, our preachers preach like lions. He said, over here, they preach like pussycats.
Boy, is that not the truth? Over there, they preach like lions. You know what Abraham Lincoln said? He said, I want to hear a man preach like his coattails on fire. That's what Abraham Lincoln said. And that's how it used to be. And now, you know what preachers are saying? I hear them all the time. I'm not a preacher, I'm a teacher. You know why they call themselves teachers? Because they don't have no anointing.
Yeah.
They have no unction of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. When you got the unction of the Holy Ghost, you may try to teach, but you'll find yourself preaching while you're teaching. I know that's me. I go to teaching. I get happy. I get anointed. I get excited. I enjoy it. And I don't stand like I'm wounded. You know, I believe in old time. And we've got to get back to believing in angels. Everybody listening to me out there. You hold it a minute, my friend. Everybody listening to me, wake up. Wake up. Get out of this state of lethargy, out of this state of a stupor. Our world, church world, is in a stupor. Are you agreeing to that?
Yes, sir.
But I tell you what, if the Democrats, did you hear what I said about the Democrats and gender?
Oh, yeah.
How in the world, my brother, does a party of politicians come to that state of mind?
I've been pondering this for years now, and it absolutely blows my mind. I don't know what people are thinking, except for one thing. Maybe they're not thinking.
Well, the internet, games, computer games, everything has stewed people's brain. I think people's brain is stewed. And they've been taught, you know, relativism. Everything is relative. Nothing is absolute. The Bible is not even absolute anymore. That's what all these new versions are. It was an effort to destroy the absolute Bible. If you don't have an absolute Bible, all you've got is a book.
Well, one thing is that they're uninformed, because the information to blow the world system out of the water is their warehouses full of information and material, and there are people that know about this stuff in our government, our politicians, our actors and everybody. They know all about this stuff, but the general public are just as deluded as they can possibly be. They have so much love and confidence and things that they absolutely should despise.
Well, it is a dark hour, but the coming of the Lord is at the door, my brother. I am believing with all my heart, and I said a while ago that the exposure of sin, the sense of how diabolical and filthy our world has become, is the work of angels to wake people up. Can you receive that?
Yes, sir, Bob.
I really believe the Holy Ghost spoke that to me this week.
God is exposing wickedness that's been undercover for so long that it's beginning to stink.
And even Bill Clinton is beginning to stink.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, really beginning to stink. And he's been sheltered and overshadowed by the liberal media and even Republicans. Why have not Republicans did something about Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton? They know what these folks have done. If Donald Trump would have done 10% of what the Clintons have done, they would have already been able to put him out of office.
Exactly.
I mean, if he'd done 10%, those two people, I mean, I called them Ahab and Jezebel when he was in the White House over and over how many hundreds of times. They were nothing but an Ahab and a Jezebel, you know? And then here came Obama, and he was worse than an Ahab. He was almost a devil incarnate. You know, and we've seen this happen, and yet we don't take the Bible serious. And I'm a preacher telling people, you better start taking your Bible serious. You better start understanding that the bridegroom is fixing to come to get the bride. I love the terminology of the bridegroom. Do you like that terminology?
I love it.
Oh, he's fixing to come. And you know, John the Baptist called him a bridegroom. He's not going to be the bridegroom. He is the bridegroom. We're not going to be the bride. We are already the bride. In the Jewish economy, the moment you were engaged, it was as legal as if you were married. And so we are already espoused to the bridegroom, and I'm not my own. I like what the Song of Solomon said. I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine.
Exactly.
You like that term? That's in the book of the Song of Solomon. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. Hallelujah. Somebody out there say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's like the greatest soul winner I ever knew that only had a third grade education, but he's always saying, hallelujah, what a savior.
I love you. Hey, friends, I want to tell you, this broadcast has been a thrill to me. I'm telling you, angels are busy right now. If you knew all that they were doing, if you knew where they're going to expose some wicked thing next, if you knew the next dark thing you're going to see coming down the pipes. What I heard this week about the Democrat Party not believing that a child's gender can be known when they're born, whether or not they are a girl or a boy, that is nothing but the external. That doesn't speak of what they may really be inside. When I heard that, I thought we're at the bottom of the barrel. You can't get no more stupid, no more asinine, no more diabolical. I mean, wicked to the core. Friend, you better get ready out there. You better get in your Bible. You better get in a good holiness church tomorrow where they preach this whole gospel, where they preach this great truth under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Paul Creek would love to have you. We really would. We got dinner on the grounds tomorrow too. Not on the ground. It'll be on a table. Hallelujah. I'm cooking chicken and dumplings tonight. Great big pot of chicken and dumplings, just like my wife. I promise you, they'll be some kind of good. They'll be some kind of good. Now, it's been a joy. You are my friend. God bless you. Jesus is coming, and he's coming any moment. And if you're not ready, you better get ready, my friend. If you're not ready, you better get ready. And I'm looking for his coming. I really am. God bless you. I love you. Don't you miss next week. Don't you miss next week. Do you hear me? Don't you miss next week. The King is coming.
When out in sin, I had no hope, no peace within. Down on my knees, in agony, I prayed to Jesus and he gladly set me free. the day when all the burdens of my soul were rolled away. It made me happy, glad and free. I'll sing and shout it, for he's everything to me.
Now I can feel him by my side.
My feeble steps, he comes to guide. When trials come, he comforts me. Through faith in him or sin, I have the victory. I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul were rolled away. It made me happy, glad, and free. I'll sing and shout it, for he's everything to me.
Oh, sinner, come
to Jesus now. At his dear feet, just humbly bow. Confess to him your every sin. He'll save and cleanse you, give you peace and joy within. I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul were rolled away. It made me happy, glad, and free. I'll sing and shout it, for he's everything.